It's Wednesday, April the 5th, and you're tuned in to the Chin Ivy Podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show, where we talk about all the cool things in the whole wide world. What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Brand new month, brand new you.
No. Okay. I think I committed to that. New month, new me. I think I committed to that a while ago.
You did.
Did
you
I?
Did.
All right. Okay, fine. New me.
You committed to it back in February.
New me. New persona out me.
Yeah, okay. Listen, like, everyone, April 1st happened on the weekend.
Yeah.
And April 1st brings with it many, many fun things.
Because like, it is legitimate news stories.
Yes. Actually, no, I will say, you know, this whole thing of, you know, believe, like, by now, everyone believes that, you know, April 1st is the day the internet becomes useless.
Yes.
And I think it's gone to the point now where it's hard to really, I don't want to say fooled, because I think, like, no one's going to be fooled, but it's even hard just to find something that's interesting as an April Fool's.
Okay, that's fair.
I feel like we've gone to the point where now it's just like, eh.
Oh, you look, you made a fake thing.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Like, it's getting harder and harder to impress the audience, the world.
That's fair.
I don't know if you feel that way. I feel that way now.
I feel that the internet in general has made people more critical of things. So I wouldn't be surprised that April Fool's, like, a thing about kind of, like, half-assed jokes and stuff like that has gone to the wayside. Or maybe that's just us, too, because, like, we've been in it. We've been seeing April Fool's jokes all our lives, right?
Yeah,
but maybe, like, a 12-year-old is, like, dying at all these April Fool's jokes.
Maybe. Who knows? So, did you see anything good on the internet?
I saw one thing on the internet, which is, at first I thought it was very mean, but then I was very happy.
Okay.
Which was Arika, which is an old fighting game company. You might know them for making the Street Fighter EX series, the 3D fighter.
Yeah.
They came out with a brand new Street Fighter EX 4 gameplay trailer.
Wow.
And it was super polished. Like, the models looked really nice. It looked like a ton of work had gone into it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, that's just mean. Mm-hmm. April for, like, teasing fans with, like, this obscure game that has, like, a really hardcore fan base, but, like, never really critically sold all that well.
Right.
Financially sold all that well. And then, like, critically, I think it was okay. I don't, my memory's hazy on that.
It was all right.
But it turned out to be real. It turned out that Arika is making a new, it might not be Street Fighter EX because there are no Street Fighter characters in this trailer. It's just their original characters,
mm-hmm.
but they are making a new blank EX game. And I'm super excited.
Yeah. It looked neat.
Yeah.
It looked like a real game.
It looked like a real game.
If I cared about this series, I would have been super pissed if it was fake.
I didn't see any Skullomania, so I'm kind of disappointed, but had a bunch of staples. So
yeah,
I'm down.
Very, very cool. The one that I saw was from the automotive industry, and it was the automotive giant McLaren. You might know them as one of the most successful teams in Formula One. They, actually, McLaren don't even classify themselves as a car maker. They're a technology company.
Oh, screw off.
And they start out their trailer saying, like, you know, they invest a lot of money into aerodynamics and research.
Yeah.
But they like to mimic a lot of natural aerodynamics found in nature.
And then turn that into carbon fiber.
Yeah. But they said there's one place that they've never done it yet.
Yep.
And they haven't looked to the skies where the planet's fastest, most aerodynamic creatures soar.
Mm-hmm.
And so McLaren took one of their cars, the 570S, and they wrapped it in, they said, 1,000 feather-veined carbon feathers.
Yeah, carbon fiber-veined feathers.
Yeah.
Damn.
And it looked... So basically what you see is a McLaren that with crow's feathers all over it.
It looks like the McLaren is wearing a very tacky pimp jacket.
I feel like it's something that Cruella de Vil would be driving to the party.
Yeah,
in, right?
Right.
I was just like, that's evil.
Except they weren't carbon fiber synthetic feathers. She just went and took crow's feathers and she's like, give me these.
Yeah. It was pretty cool.
So the thing was, in the video, it says, like, only available on April 1st.
Yeah.
Like, if I were a McLaren owner, I would call in and be like, yo, you said it was available April 1st. I want these feathers.
Okay.
Because I wonder if they would do it.
I don't know.
Like, if someone called in and was like, I want these feathers.
Yeah. You know what? If you have enough money, I'm
right?
sure.
Like, I'm it sure might that... as well just be ridiculous about it.
Now I understand why, like, all those rich teenagers do, like, the crazy shit to their car. Because, like, who fucking cares? Money's nothing to them.
Mm.
But there you go. All right. Now that we're a bit warmed up, let's get into the show proper. This week, we're talking about a movie. And a TV show.
Oh, yeah. We got two reviews.
We're going to start with the movie because we just came back from a screening of...
Power Ranger. Wait, that was last week.
No, that was last week. Scarlett Johansson in Ghost in the Shell.
Vince!
Yo.
How'd you like this movie? So you're the one that has seen Ghost in the Shell. I have not.
Yeah.
This was based on Standalone Complex?
No, this one is based... It's its own thing, but it takes cues from all the other different Ghost in the Shell
properties. Oh, okay. So properties. It kind of borrows, I guess.
It does, except for the core story.
Oh, so this is completely different.
Yeah.
Nice.
And... Okay. Oh, man. I don't know what to think. I think I've said on this podcast before that, like, I'm not the biggest fan of Ghost in the Shell, the anime stuff. Like, it's the anime that I respect way more than I actually like.
Okay.
That's not to say I hate it, but it's just, like...
Like, when it came out, it did some things that were super cool.
Yeah, and even today, I think, you know, it still asks important questions and it touches on, you know, the existential question of what does it mean to be human?
What is a soul?
Exactly. It does that. And I think when someone tells me, like, they think it's incredible, I don't disagree with them. It just didn't appeal to me.
It didn't hit you in the same way.
Exactly. So seeing this movie, I was pretty open-minded. I was ready for anything. The movie, I think it nails the look. I think the movie looks...
Aesthetically, that, like, it's gorgeous.
They nailed, like, what Neo Tokyo is supposed to look like. They have direct shots from different sequences in the anime Standalone Complex, as well as the original movie. They have a lot of all the same Section 9 characters. You know, the casting is really well done. I think Scarlett Johansson is amazing in the role of as the Major.
Mm.
I think they dropped the ball with the story.
Okay.
I think that's where, for me, the movie it loses it. In all the Ghost of the Shell movies, or the series that I've seen, the Major is, she's not invincible, but she's, like...
Damn near close?
Yeah.
All right.
And I don't mean, like, her, like, she still has a synthetic body and it gets blown to pieces and whatnot, but, like, mentally, she's unflappable or whatever.
All right.
Right? She doesn't have this, like, worrying question about herself. She's never in doubt.
Okay.
And... in the series, especially Standalone Complex, she doesn't have a past. As in, you don't know the past, and she's not going to tell you the past.
Does it hint that she knows the past?
She completely knows the past.
Oh, okay.
But she's like, don't worry about it.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's not this thing that hangs over her. She's also not, you know, like, even though she is one of the first people to be fully synthetic in the series... That's not the point of the show.
That's not what defines her
as
a person?
No, it's not. Okay. It's not at all. That's why when this movie is clearly about she's the first of her kind, and the movie, like, it loves to hammer over your head, like, your ghost is still in your shell. Like, they say that line, like, 20 times in the
when
movie.
They almost verbatim say the title of the movie, I'm like, I was kind of like,
They never once say it in any of the other series.
Oh, okay.
Like, they'll go around and be like, that's my ghost.
Mm.
But they only do it rarely. That's why in this movie, I feel like it's almost like the writer was like, well, the mainstream audience understand the idea of a soul within a synthetic body.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like they didn't have confidence in the audience, so they wanted to beat your head with it.
Okay.
And I think that's what made the original series so great, is like it dealt with all these, like, really complex or high-level topics, but it never dumped it down for the audience.
It trusted the audience to get it.
Yeah, and okay. I think this movie does not do that. It's like... No, this is for the standard moviegoer. We can't make it too complex.
Do you think that it's a worry of bringing it to a different audience?
Totally.
Like not strictly North American, but a majority North American audience?
Yeah, I think so. I think, like, it would bring it to Hollywood. There's a couple boxes they need to check to be like, listen, we can't make it this complex. We got to tone down a lot of the narrative. We got to make it centered around something, because the series Ghost in the Shell, like Standalone Complex, I wouldn't say there's an actual plot line through, like, the actual series.
Okay.
It's more like a cop procedural where like every episode is different. Mm. And sometimes there'll be reoccurring arcs that'll tie together.
Kind of like, what is it? Not Samurai Champloo. Cowboy Bebop?
Yeah, it's like that. Okay. So like, you can't really take that whole series and condense it down because there's just things that...
that happen and then you have context for other episodes.
Yeah, okay. Right? So in this movie, I think it was smart that they tried to center it around a story. It's just that the story they chose, I feel like, completely negates what makes the Major so iconic.
They centered it around the wrong story.
Exactly. It's okay. Just like, no, the Major to me, at least from what I understand, has always been like, you know, she doesn't need clearance. She just does whatever the fuck she wants.
Yeah.
And the boss, the old Japanese dude, he has 100% complete faith in her, whatever decision he takes.
Which I felt that the character, it was Beat Takeshi who played that character.
Yeah.
They captured that in the movie pretty well. Like, all of it was just like, she knows what she's doing. Like, if anybody comes at
it. It does, except in the beginning when he's like, no, you hold.
That part was...
And I was like, and that's in the beginning, and I was like, wait, she doesn't have, like, full authority? Like, she's... Because, like, in the show, it's like, she's got her own priorities, and she can do whatever she wants.
That was a point I wanted to bring up of, there's certain character motivations within this movie, which I don't feel make any sense.
Yeah.
With their character later on. Especially Beat Takeshi's character.
Yeah.
Where in the beginning, it seems like, hey, don't do this. Like, he's kind of worried about what she'll do.
Yeah.
But, and immediately after that, never questions her once ever again.
Exactly.
Right? And it's weird. Doesn't, that decision that he made at the beginning doesn't make sense with the character for the rest of the movie.
Yeah. So, like, I just wish the movie itself was not about she's the first of her kind and it's going to change the world.
Okay.
I wish it was more just like Ghost in the Shell was in that she's already part of this world and she just knows how to maneuver herself around it.
Yeah.
So, I thought it wasn't awful. It was super entertaining.
Yeah.
It just could have been something else.
It sounds like you're more disappointed, not so much in the delivery, but more of the execution, like the visual aesthetic and how it was shown to you and everything was grade A.
Yeah.
But the fact that you thought Hollywood thought you were stupider than you were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Okay. I think the director just didn't have faith in why people like the anime.
Okay.
So there you go.
That's pretty fair. So I'm coming at it from a different perspective.
Well, I'm interested to see what you
were gonna haven't say. Seen anything Ghost in a Shell.
Yeah.
And so coming off some of your topics or some of your points where I didn't feel that Major being this person of like, oh, I don't know my past. Like,
mm-hmm.
Why are these people messing with me and stuff like that? It was too big of a deal because I had no reference point for the other character. I did think, though, that the story was very generic. It was, it hit all of these, all this stuff I've seen in other action tropes, even stuff that's very similar of I've lost my memory, stuff like Jason Bourne. Where it's like, hey, I worked for this thing and then I got burned and I'm doing this stuff. And like, it doesn't do anything unique while the rest of the world is completely unique.
Yeah.
And it's kind of this weird difference. Like aesthetically, the movie wants to be something very unique and something you've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
But story wise, it's something you've seen before in plenty of movies. So that was a little weird, but I didn't think it was terrible.
Yep.
I thought the whole reveal was kind of, I don't know, I saw it coming. Just the fact of like, hey, we're lying to you, we're a corporation. What's up?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
And stuff like that. So, yeah, it wasn't the greatest, but I was much more interested in the visual aesthetic than the actual story.
Would you say that like you were interested in the entirety of the setting and the world?
Yeah.
More so than you were the actual story? The plot,
they especially when it comes to people, they do a lot of cool like robot body horror stuff, just like people lifting up their eyeballs and then having a robot face underneath and stuff like that. There's a lot of effects in that too that are practical.
Yeah,
I was watching some interviews before the movie came out, and just like those geisha dolls, those geisha robots, when they are just walking like normal people and doing very human-like things, those are people inside those suits, right? And the set dressing and stuff is amazing.
Yeah.
some of the CG was, like, especially when she's in stealth.
Scarlett Johansson's body CG is the worst in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Putting, like, there's, like, a CG bodysuit over her. Like, her coming out of stealth is...
So that bodysuit is real. She's wearing that.
How come it looks so CG then?
I don't know.
Right?
I don't know why she needs to wear the suit, because she can clearly stealth her skin.
Yeah.
Her head's not covered, so mm-hmm. I don't understand that.
So she, yeah, I guess maybe it's a protective thing. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, some of the CG was very weak. The water scene, which could have looked super cool, where they're fighting in this kind of like
yeah.
lake apartment complex
yeah.
combo, felt like it was hampered by what seemed like bad green screen.
Yeah.
And just like really wonky CG effects.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I think the movie's good, yeah. but I don't think it's anything to be like, hey, this is going to turn people on to Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah.
If you've never heard about it before.
Yeah.
Like, so right now I'm really interested in seeing what the differences are in the anime and stuff like that compared to this movie.
Yeah.
But if you've never heard of it, period.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think this would get you to be like, oh, I'll go check out this series. I'll go yeah. check out whatever. It's, mm-hmm. it was a fun spring or slash summer uh-huh. sci-fi action movie.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was fine.
Yeah, I think like the movie, they clearly wanted to appeal to longtime fans.
Yeah,
and they do that by taking direct scenes from different, like the opening scene when she's on the roof.
Yeah,
and she jumps off. That's like the opening to Standalone Complex.
Oh, okay.
The final scene,
she's jumping off a roof.
No, with a spider and and her arm thing.
Yeah.
That's from the movie.
Wow.
That's exactly from the movie. Like, how she ends up in that battle, it's exactly the same.
So when they said spider tank,
yeah.
I thought they were going to bring out a Tachikoma, but it was very, like, Americanized version of a
Tachikoma. So that spider tank is also in the series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it's hilarious when the Tachikomas have to fight it.
Oh, I thought they took a Tachikoma and were like, let's flatten it out and make it military.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's also, yeah, just some weird things. We talked about Beat Takeshi's character, but Mr. Cutter.
Yeah.
I didn't understand his motivation.
Yeah, no.
He wanted a weapon.
Yeah.
But when he's like, oh, we can't control a human brain. Like, no shit, bud.
Yeah.
Like, you just want a robot and you yeah. have those. Like, I don't understand your motivation for having this project.
Yeah, I think that's my problem in the movie. It's like they tried to take this amazing universe, but they put in like the most generic plot
yeah.
into it, and it's, I just wish it wasn't that.
Yeah, it's I think it's what I said before, where the world is so unique and so
they could have cool. gone any direction.
They could have done anything they wanted to do, yeah. and they went with kind of a generic amnesia story.
Yeah. Oh. Yep.
So, what did you think? I think the elephant in the room for this movie is the fact that they casted Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Yeah. How did that, as someone who has watched the other older series or the anime series, did that bother you in any way? Or
no.
Did the story justify it, the reasoning behind like how she looks the way she looks?
I always assume, because in the series, she picks that body. Like, she picks the Major's body.
Okay.
And when people say the Major's Japanese, I've never assumed that.
Okay.
Like, when I'm watching the series, I just assume, like, in the near future, we're all super culturally mixed.
Yeah.
And you just pick the features you want.
And in the movie, there's a lot of, like, the team is, like, there's no one same race, yeah. right? Other than the Bato and the Major.
Yeah.
Right? Like, those are the only two white people on the team.
Yeah.
Everyone else is, like, super ethnically diverse.
Yeah. So yeah, no, I think that's fine for casting. I think Scarlett Johansson did a great job. She does. She put on this weird walk though. Like, I don't know if she was trying to be tough or she's trying to play the fact that she's also a robot.
Okay.
But she her posture is not very. She's always got this tactical posture on her.
Okay.
Where like she's a little bit like hunched forward, like at the ready. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really cool when she held the guns and stuff. I thought she looked really great doing that.
Yeah, there was the scene where she's walking through a hallway with a pistol and she's got a knife sideways and she's got the other hand.
I feel like she
looked super cool.
I was like, she looks the part. She's got the right haircut and she's also very beautiful to look at. And I'm like, yeah.
That didn't hurt.
I mean, the Major isn't an ugly character, so yeah.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, like I also didn't, it didn't bother me.
Yeah.
Also considering how the story reveal of what happens.
Yep.
So that, like, I don't know, I never really got, I got the outrage from people who just didn't know, like, or maybe when before the movie came out. But after seeing the movie, it makes more sense to me because they kind of justify it story-wise.
Yeah.
But then there's also the fact that, like, if they did it this way, why couldn't they? There's no reason they couldn't have done it the other way, right? So it's kind of a, like, that decision was strictly business. That was strictly
Yeah,
like,
it was a bit. Listen, it's an anime movie coming to a wider audience,
yeah.
and if you don't have confidence in that, one of the easiest way to get, to put people in movie seats is to put a big name actor in there.
The star of the movie called The Great Wall
Yeah,
is Matt Damon.
I mean, there you go.
Remember The Last Samurai
That
featuring the very Japanese Tom Cruise?
was good.
I like that movie. It was pretty good.
That movie was like 3.5 hours long, though. But
Oh,
yeah.
is it really?
Yeah, it's long.
Oh, I don't remember
It's a
that.
long movie.
I just remember the scene where all the people get gunned down by the Gatling gun, and he's like,
Oh, he's
years of
been in
it, and
it?
he's like, years of experience wasted by a machine. And I was
Yeah.
like, oh, that's sad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like 3.5 hours long.
Damn.
Yep.
Okay. But yeah, Ghost in the Shell, I thought it was good. I
Yeah.
thought they could have it's disappointing. I thought they could have done a lot better.
For sure.
And even not seeing the source material, I feel like
Yeah.
why would you go with such a generic story
Yeah.
when you have such a world that is unique and visually appealing?
Yeah, for sure. Let's rate it.
Give it a 3. It was fine. It was
Yeah.
good.
I would give it a 2.
Okay.
I just got really rubbed the wrong way with how they framed the major scenario.
Oh, just the fact of how she's so hung up on her past.
Yeah, and that,
Okay.
yeah. And that she's a quote unquote weapon.
She's a weapon.
Like, I don't know.
Like, that was such. The Cutter was such a generic action bad guy. Like, it hurt. It hurt.
It
He was so
did. It did.
generic.
I guess it, 'cause like I there's okay, I'll tell you, I'll describe one scene in the series. The major's doing like a she's going through a tactical mission,
Okay.
but in this world, remember chat rooms?
Yep.
So in this world there's chat rooms, but you could do it virtually with your mind and you're sitting there.
Okay.
So the major's going, she's in a chat room and she's trying to find out information from like the dark web.
Okay.
So she's in the virtual world, but at the same time, she's also running a tactical op.
Oh, so
Yeah.
okay, that's
So like
cool.
that's how crazy the major is. Like
She's in two places at once,
she's super
literally. All
competent at
right.
everything. And so like
Okay.
when I see this movie and I'm like, she's getting her ass kicked left, right, and center. It's just like, eh.
Yeah, there was a bunch of scenes where I see her surrounded by a bunch of dudes, and I fully expected her to kick their ass, and then she
Yeah.
just gets taken down, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So there you go.
All right, that's fair.
Yeah. Let's go on to the double feature of a review.
Kung Fu.
Yes. Netflix's Iron Fist. Iron Fist. So tell me, what you think about Iron Fist?
I think so. I didn't watch Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
I think Iron Fist is the weakest of all the
I
Netflix
think Iron
shows.
Fist is the weakest of the
Yeah.
Netflix shows.
So Iron Fist, they're for a. It's weird because seeing Daredevil, right? Daredevil isn't really mainly about fighting, right? It's about a guy who knows some sort of self-defense, but it's mainly about protecting his little pocket of New York City.
Yep. Protecting the kitchen.
The kitchen, the Hell's Kitchen. And like just kind of he's tired of law not doing whatever, right? It's more of a vigilante story where Iron Fist is centered around fighting. It is centered around kung fu. It is centered around this ancient society of warriors that protects the gate to heaven. And all the fights suck. There, Danny Rand is strictly the weakest character in that series. The supporting cast, especially some of the villains, just outshine him. They're way better. There's a fight scene with the Drunken Master. Do you remember that one? His moves, the Drunken Master Dorgard, his moves were so convincing, right? That putting him to against Danny Rand's fighting style, it seemed like he was an amateur that beat an expert. Like he landed a bunch of lucky punches and
No, you know
then
what he did? He used that I used this technique when I faced the pros.
what?
You use that what do you call it? Unpredictable rookie.
Oh, just hit all the buttons and then hope for the best. All right. Yeah, he pretty much did that. Or that's at least what it looks like.
Totally. I thought that after watching Luke Cage, I'm like, okay, Luke Cage, these fight scenes are boring, but hey, fuck.
But that's who he is.
I'm like, okay, fine. It can't get worse than this. And then we watch the Kung Fu show, and it's like, what happened?
What happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all the sometimes I really wish I didn't watch that Every Frame a Painting video with Jackie Chan that like dissects good fight scenes.
Yeah.
Because I saw almost every mistake that was happening in here.
Yeah, one of the worst fight scenes in this series is he's in the hospital.
Yeah.
And he's looking for the files, and some guy's about to burn it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of the worst scenes I've ever seen.
It's for something attached to the Marvel name, which is known for, or at least recently, being quality. Like, that's an embarrassing scene.
I was like, how?
It's not good.
Yeah.
I kind of wish the actor took some more lessons, at least. To get at least like a little bit more, like, it looks like he wasn't confident in his movements and stuff, right? He wasn't really following through with stuff. Just compare. I don't know any fighting, right? So just comparing it to other movies I've seen.
Yeah.
I think the highlight of the show for me is Madame Gao.
Okay.
Finally seeing more of Madame Gao and like her inner workings in The Hand was super interesting in establishing what's going to be the Defenders. And his, I liked the villain. I liked, what's his, Wade's, or not, is it Wade? His dad?
His dad.
Wait, is it Wade's dad?
Who's the brother's name? Ward's dad.
Ward's dad.
Harold Meacham.
Yeah, Harold Meacham. I thought Harold Meacham did a grade A job at being some,
for being like a scumbag,
just a scumbag psychopath.
He was like, great. I thought he was great. I thought Ward was great. Yeah,
I thought the sister was a little annoying.
She was all right.
Yeah, she was fine. But yeah, the Meacham boys.
Yeah,
god damn.
When you first meet Ward, you're like, this guy's a fucking asshole.
And then it's like, you were raised by a bigger asshole.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And then you realize like what he has to deal with, and you're like, fuck, I'm feeling sorry for that asshole. Now,
that story arc of here is Ward, here is his father, now immediately switch feelings from Ward, I hate you, to Ward, oh my god, how do you live with yourself?
Like, yeah. And then when you see him like struggle to convince Joy, and you're like, oh my god.
It was like, I'm like, oh my god, how could someone believe you? You're like, dad's alive. He comes back from the dead every time I kill him. Like, no, what? Who's gonna believe that?
Put him in the psych ward.
Oh, yeah. I thought so. That was the one part of the show where I really thought shined through.
Yeah.
Which is villains felt like villains.
Oh, for sure.
Where in Daredevil was still a kingpin, felt like a bad guy, but he was still more of like a generic mob boss, right? He was doing the stuff that a mob boss does.
Yeah, I can see it.
For Luke Cage, I thought it was just very generic. Here's this.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, look, we made this super soldier serum, and we're just going to shove stuff into you. I did not see Jessica Jones.
Jessica Jones is more like on the level of like the Joker.
Oh,
like,
really?
He doesn't want to kill you. He's just like, he just wants to fuck with you.
No, he just wants to toy with you.
Yeah.
Okay. That's pretty cool. Maybe I'll check that out. Yeah, but this one, just like the villains felt like villains. They felt strictly evil. They would do anything at the cost of anything for their own gain.
Yeah.
And the Meacham family is such a fucked up group of people that it was so interesting to watch just someone try to take them down, even though it was someone like the character of Danny Rand, who is very generic and not that interesting to watch at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I think like the plot they served up, I thought it was fine. Like, it was, I know, like, it wasn't the most exciting, but it wasn't boring. But it's just that you spend 80% of the show with Danny, and it is like a combination of being just a bad actor and the fact that the character is also just awful.
Yep.
And it's just hard to really care. It's like, and he's
I wish they modernized it a little bit. Like, when you first see the scene where he opens up his or he's not shirtless and he's got a fucking dragon tattoo on his chest, I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, at least put it on his back.
Like, a part of me understands that, yes, he was raised in Kung Lun.
Yeah.
And so there's some things about the other, but, like, current world they doesn't know. And, like, a part of me was like, okay, maybe that's why he has, you know, a childish mentality.
He's also not very socially adjusted.
Yeah, right? and I'm like,
he knows is kung fu.
I'm like, yeah, okay, fine. That's believable. I guess I can understand that. But then, like, in the next scene, he's looking over business documents like he knows what the fuck is up. And I'm like, yeah. Wait a minute. So you are an adult. So you're just a fucking idiot.
So you're an adult that just strictly refuses to make responsible decisions?
Yeah, and I'm just like, you're just an asshole.
There's this scene in the mental hospital where he is on the brink of being released by the doctor who's trying to help him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he just goes, oh, I know what's a good idea here. I'm from Kunlun, a mystery city with no records, and I protect the gate to heaven. Right? That's the decision I needed to make right there. And he's been in the real world long enough, or the quote-unquote real world long enough.
Well, but it's not like he doesn't know that where he's being is a bit of a, like, magical place. Like, right? He's not an idiot.
Like, he's like a Jehovah's Witness. Like, he's just strictly trying to be like, listen, dog, this place is real. We're all gonna go. It's gonna be real fun. Dude, come on. Sorry to any Jehovah's Witness out
there.
And then
he's just like, I am the Iron Fist. We're like, we get it.
We get it. You're a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
There's a difference between having a character who is unfamiliar with the customs of a certain world and just being like borderline mentally challenged.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, so I mean,
and that plays through the whole series. That plays with the Misham father.
Yeah,
that plays with his friends.
Yeah,
right, just the whole bunch of stuff happens where he's just dumb.
Yeah, like his whole motivation is I am the Iron Fist, I need to strike down the hand.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, shut the fuck up already.
I get it. We get it. You've said it so many times in so many episodes.
Yeah. I don't know.
I hope it gets better in The Defenders.
What do you feel about the one Asian girl in the show about Kung Fu?
She had better moves than the main character.
Yeah, she did.
And it's like, hot damn.
She did.
You should probably learn something from, like, again, it's a situation of how do you beat her?
Yeah.
Because she's selling it, like, like, killing it.
Yeah.
And you're just over here being like, hook.
I love how, oh man, like, I don't have an issue with, like, multicultural people being experts at martial arts or traditional Asian fighting styles. But when they went to that one school, where they're all training, like,
oh, okay, yeah.
And I'm just like, there's not a single Asian person here.
It's just her.
Yeah.
And then all of her students, which is a weird
thing. Yeah, and then they go to her sensei's place, and it's like, nah, there's no Asian people here.
You're a black dude.
What? Yeah, it's like, what?
it's always weird when, so, like, the stereotype is Asians know kung fu.
Yeah.
Right? They know some sort of self-defense. But it's weird when someone tries to be culturally diverse.
Yeah.
But then is like, maybe it's too racist if we add more Asian people.
Yeah.
It's like, no, now it just looks out of place.
Yeah, the only time I think this show has Asian people, I think it is like Chinese New Year's, and they go to Chinatown.
They go to Chinatown.
And then they go to the restaurant.
They go to the Triad. Yeah. They're Chinese.
Yeah.
Madame Gao's Chinese.
Yeah. And they're like, okay, here.
Oh, here are the Asian people. They're over in Chinatown. They're all hanging out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a minute. Hold up here. It's really weird. It's that situation where you're so worried about not being racist that you end up being insensitive. Not racist, but insensitive.
It's like you
overcompensate.
Yeah, you over-censor yourself, and then you just sound like an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Oh. I mean, I
have
no fun.
I don't think, I hope this isn't offensive to you, but do you like adobo?
Wow.
Right? Like, if I said it like that, that's just like,
I'd be like, you're a fucking idiot.
You're a fucking idiot, right? But if it's like, hey, Vince, is adobo good? You'd be like, yeah, it's fine, whatever.
So, Anthony, it's okay if we have spaghetti today, right?
What? Just because I'm Italian, you think I want spaghetti all the fucking time?
Nope. I'm just asking.
Well, you're right, I do. Let's have it. It's fucking delicious.
All right. But yeah, I mean, like, I had fun watching it. It wasn't the most amazing thing in the world.
Yeah, it was a good time killer while I was building robots.
That's a good way to put it.
It wasn't the best.
Yeah.
Do you want to go to ratings? Do you have anything else to say
I can go to ratings.
Yeah, I'd probably give it like a 2.
Yeah, I'm more on like a 3.
Really?
Yeah. There are some parts I liked, I think. Like, I really liked the girl.
Yeah, she's a great character.
I like the
girl. And her whole her whole arc of like
she believes
you think she is what she says she is,
yeah,
but then she turns out to be something else, but then you realize she truly believes what she's having, right? But then she has the switch and she loops back around.
And the villains, like, I can't ignore how great they were.
Dude, the Meachums are dope. They're some of the best villains in any of the Marvel shows.
Yep, they are.
Again, I have not seen Jessica Jones, so.
Ah, you might like it.
Okay. It was fine. I want him to be a better character.
Same.
I want Iron Fist to be a better character.
I have high hopes for the Defenders because he's not going to be, like, soloing that show. I think Danny Rand will be great as part of an ensemble cast.
As a door opener?
Yeah.
I felt like every time he used the Iron Fist was to open a door of some sort. Or to open a pathway. It was never to fight. It was always to, like, we gotta escape the situation. Boom.
I feel like the Iron Fist could have been a whole lot more. Because when he punches through doors, I just think about Luke Cage and he's just punching through a wall. Yeah.
Luke Cage does the same thing, which is like, what are you going to do in the Defenders? Is if you have two wall punchers, are you going to punch double the walls?
Yeah. Who knows?
Is Luke Cage going to be like, dude,
I think you have to remember that Jessica Jones can do the same thing.
Can she?
Yeah.
No, I have no clue what her powers are. I have no knowledge of what Jessica Jones is.
She's super strength.
What?
Yeah.
This seems like the worst superhero team ever. It's just like, here's a bunch of dudes with the same power.
Yeah.
At least Krillin had the Destructo Disc. Like, come on.
The indestructible Destructo Disc?
Yeah, the best attack that never hit.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to our picks of the week. There you go. Now go watch things.
I guess if you want to. It sounds like we thought it was pretty mediocre both ways.
Yeah. Okay, picks of the week. I'll start things off. Remember Joss Whedon?
He's a dude. He made a popular show. It's all right.
Yeah. Do you know what else he made?
What did he do?
The Avengers.
Did he? Yeah, it's fine.
And The Avengers 2?
That one's probably the worst one.
So he's switching teams.
Oh, he's on DC now.
He's the director of Batgirl.
Ooh.
Yeah. So that sounds interesting, right?
I hope that they take from
the most recent comics
yeah. Because they have been doing, I've only read a little bit, but they have been doing really interesting stuff with that character.
Yeah.
And just her whole, like, dude, she's a teenage girl. Yeah. Like,
for sure.
And I still really like her outfit in the comics.
Yeah, it's
like,
real cool.
It's awesome.
So she has like a tactical combat suit, which is not, but it's like stylish. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really cool. The other thing I wanted to talk about was, the Defenders had a little teaser out. They're in an elevator.
Yep. And Jessica Jones takes on the camera. Like, it's a teaser.
Yeah. It looks like nothing, but if you zoom in
on
the corner, there's a website URL. You can go there, and then there's a something that reveals the premiere date.
Oh, okay.
So August. August is the premiere date for The Defenders.
Oh, that's relatively
soon. So if you don't have Netflix, sub up by August.
So you can watch that show and then cancel.
Exactly. And let's see, what else do I got here? Oh yeah, my last thing is the rumored leak about this year's Call of Duty.
Oh, okay.
I want to know what you think about the rumor that this year's Call of Duty is going back to World War II.
Man, looped it, snake eating its own tail, looped around on itself, eh?
Yes, the last World War II Call of Duty that I can remember was World at War.
Oh,
I
forgot about that one.
That was the one after Modern Warfare.
Okay.
And that was the one, I believe it was based on like Vietnam. And you could set people on fire with a flamethrower.
Dang. Well, okay, so they did Modern.
Yeah.
They did three of that. They did, there was also Black Ops, it's also kind of modern and past.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it's a mix of both. But then they did the future stuff. They did Advanced Warfare.
They did Ghosts?
I didn't play Ghosts.
Yeah, then they did Advance.
Okay.
And then they did Infinite.
Yes, Infinite Warfare. Yeah. I still want to play both Advance and Infinite.
Yeah.
I haven't really gotten around to it because they're still full price.
Yeah, when they're like $5.
For me, it's like 20. When they're 20, I'll pick them up. And then,
because
I just don't want to pay $80 for a Call of Duty game. Because I'm not going to play the multiplayer.
Yeah. Okay. I'll just wait a couple years for the 20-year collection.
The Ultra 8K version. Play it in your HoloLens.
Yep.
I think that's it's about it's the right amount of time for them to loop back.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think it just goes to show that, man, the mainstream audience doesn't fucking care about future tech or sci-fi.
Which is saddening. Like,
Yeah.
I really you would think that in a world where you're kind of
Yeah.
inundated with future tech, where some of the most popular movies is like Guardians of the Galaxy
Yeah.
and stuff like that, that it would be more popular.
Or like Iron Man is big with kids and it's like, what the fuck is Iron Man, man? He's like the most high-tech shit out
But
there.
it could be also like just the audience that Call of Duty appeals to, right?
That's true.
When you compare sales numbers of like Modern Warfare 2,
Yeah.
and it's like, dude, everyone and their mother owns that game,
Yeah.
right? Or I guess technically their father, I don't
Yeah.
know. And then it's like, okay, well, you have such a broad audience with this modern stuff.
Yeah.
When you go to future, you kind of alienate certain people.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I don't want to deal with jetpacks. I don't want to deal with space combat and stuff like that. It can really turn a lot of people off.
Yeah.
It may be a better game. It may be a more interesting game.
Yeah.
But when you have a like, imagine if Grand Theft Auto went to space.
Yeah.
I think that would be awesome because I think Rockstar could do something cool with that
Yeah.
stuff. But I think it would alienate a lot of people, and you wouldn't get the sales numbers that
Yeah.
a Grand Theft Auto
I guess
would
that makes
get.
sense. I guess like a lot of people, they want to be able to relate to it in some way.
Yeah.
Like, or have some sort of context. I mean, I guess that's why sci-fi isn't super huge in all types of
Yeah.
media.
Dude, the Mass Effect series is some of the probably one of the best series last generation,
Yeah.
right? And it didn't sell Grand Theft Auto numbers. It didn't sell.
Yeah.
It sold good,
Yeah.
but it sold to like a dedicated hardcore audience,
Yeah,
right?
that's true.
So
Yeah.
I wonder if this is just a decision of like Bobby Kotick smoking a cigar in his desk and be like, ah, bring back the World War II.
Yeah. Huh. I don't know if I'd be interested.
Are you interested in the Call of Duty game, period?
I kind of want no.
See? Well, there you
Yeah.
go.
Yeah.
Like at a certain point, I've come to realize that maybe these games aren't for me anymore. Like, I had my fill of Modern Warfare, of
Doesn't
Call of Duty, and
yeah.
that's when it was sick akimbo shotguns.
Yeah, that was back when like it was the number one selling game
Yeah.
on the planet, breaking charts and whatever and
I know a game has become too huge to be interesting when my parents have heard about it. And
oh.
as soon as that happens, I'm like, cool, this series is now dead in the water for creativity.
Yeah.
It is now, we are just gonna try to appeal to a mass thing. And when my parents are like, hey, I heard about Modern Warfare 2, do you have it? I heard about this thing called No Russian, what is it? And stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's when I knew it's like, okay, well, this series is dead for being creative. There is never gonna be another No Russian moment. There's probably never gonna be anything interesting with a Call of Duty.
Yep.
I could be wrong though. I have not played the future ones. So if like an audience member is out there yelling at their podcast, just
I don't know if
rub it in.
I mean the feedback from Infinite Warfare's campaign was that it was excellent, but it didn't like do anything profound
Okay.
or like
Again, there was
groundbreaking.
no Russian.
Yeah.
The scene's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And I even think Black Ops did, like the first Black Ops had a lot of awesome storytelling in it to do with like non-linear stuff and remembering certain things
Oh yeah.
and like twists and stuff like that.
Yeah, the
Like
twist in that game was cool.
yeah, twist, it was awesome.
Yeah.
But again, it's around the same time Modern Warfare 2 is.
Was that the one after Modern Warfare 2 Black
I
Ops?
don't th I maybe it was after 3 or just before 3. I
So
don't know if it
that.
was directly after 2. I can't remember.
Oh, okay.
But
I want
I
to say yes. That
yeah.
checks out.
Yeah.
Yeah,
But
checks
yeah,
out.
like that was around the time where it's like, hey, let's do something cool. Let's do something like that was kind of the last of let's do something cool. At
Yeah.
least for me.
But yeah, World War II. Have at it, boys and girls. There's a new breed. You know what's crazy?
What?
Some kids probably have never played Modern Warfare.
Yeah, dude. I work in that field. Kids have
Yeah.
not played Modern Warfare.
Because it just dawned on me. That game is 10 years old now. That makes me sad. I still remember buying that game. Damn.
You're old, buddy.
Yeah. Man.
So this is like a side note. I'm coming to the age now where it's like, I kind of understand what my parents feel like when they're like, how do you not know? Like, if someone said they didn't know who Pink Floyd was, my parents would be like, who the fuck are you? Are you living under a rock? Right? And I grew up with parents who who brought me like who told me about their culture when it was, or not their culture, but their the popular stuff in their times, right? When I was a kid, I was that little fucking annoying high school kid who's like, I was born in the wrong generation. All the this music is shit now, blah blah blah, right? And I little did I know that current music is still good, right? I was just so focused on an older set. But like, yeah, there are kids now where I see them and they're like, who's I would play like Destiny's Child at work. And there are kids who are like 12 and it's like, who is this? What is this? It's like, oh, this is Beyonce. And they're like, oh, I know Beyonce, but I know she's part of a group, right? And what's Barbie Girl? Oh, you mean the best song of the 90s?
What the f no,
Yeah.
it's not Genie in the Bottle, my friend.
It's not, oh, you're right, it's better than Genie in a
No,
Bottle.
no, 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 not.
I don't have to rub her the right way, all right?
But don't you just wanna?
No. See, this is pop music is so in your face now, right? You got you working walking
Man,
side to side.
Ariana Grande, like that
Just
girl,
getting
just
that dick, you know?
every day, every
every
day.
day, walking side to side.
Yeah, man, that girl has no shame. I mean, like, good for her.
Good, like if she wants it, she can get it. She is attractive enough. She is rich enough. She can go for it.
But it's just
Do I
like,
want to hear every song about it? Not
no,
particularly.
but can you imagine being her parents and just being like, have you heard that song about getting fucked to walking side to side? That's my girl. She sang
No,
that.
I bet they're like, oh, sorry, what did you say? I had money in my ears. I was waxing my ears with $100 Q-tips.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Still though, I don't know. No shame.
Zero.
Living it
You
up.
can't, you can't, li you can't have shame in show business.
What's your pick of this week?
My pick this week is a quick one. So we had the Instagram, or sorry, the April Fool's stuff. But I go on a website called indie88.com.
Of
It's
course
a
you do.
yeah.
Yeah, you would.
It's a music website, but there is a very interesting article that was written by Dave Kennedy. It came out at the end of March. It's about how Nintendo's the title is Nintendo's Greatest Composers and their undeniable influence on pop music. And it goes through the old Nintendo composers like Kip Tanaka and people like that. And it's kind of a look back at how their songs have influenced popular culture even in America or in North America.
Sounds interesting.
And then also how many artists actually sample video game music now. And they have a bunch of lists of artists who straight up like they take beats from video games. Not even just Nintendo games, or I guess it was a Nintendo game, so it's kind of a bad example, but Wiz Khalifa, he sampled a Chrono Trigger track in one of his older songs, right? There was a couple ones that I think Tram samples some Mario beats. Childish Gambino samples some Donkey Kong Country beats and stuff like that. And it's how the old stuff is becoming new again because it's now nostalgia and how it's being used in a new and modern way. It's a pretty interesting article. So just again, if you want to look it up, it's on Indie88. And the article is called Nintendo's Greatest Composers and Their Undeniable Influence on Pop Music. And if that interests you, I kind of recommend this series to a bunch of people. But Red Bull Music Academy has a YouTube series, I believe it's five or six parts, called Diggin' in the Carts. And it's about the same thing. It's about Japan's and video games, Japanese video games influence on popular culture and music.
Done by Red Bull.
It's done by Red Bull Music Academy.
Wow.
The production quality is through the roof. They have rare interviews with composers who you never see. And they go all the way back to like Space Invaders or Pong. They say like some people quote Pong as being like the first beat in a song, just like do, 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 right?
Makes
And stuff
sense,
like
yeah.
that. Yeah, and it goes back to old Namco stuff. If you've heard of games like Tower of Daraga, Pac-Man, stuff like that. It's
Very cool.
from retro, and it goes up to about, I think, I want to say Super Nintendo N64, around that area. But yeah, they have a lot of interviews with even popular artists. Anamanaguchi, they have interviews with, talking about Just Blaze, I think, is a music producer now. So he does stuff. An artist I like called Flying Lotus, he's in there. It's a lot of cool stuff.
Pretty
They're about
cool.
15 minutes each video,
Oh,
so
okay.
it's not long.
Yeah, on a it's like a semi-related note, but do you remember the beat to the Beast Wars intro?
No.
It was like dun 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 dun.
Okay, yeah.
I fucking lost my mind because I was watching Formula One, and I guess in the UK, like, the licensing is a bit lighter for
Okay.
music tech, so they could take like movie OSTs and put them underneath.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So if you watch it, like, sometimes you hear like the Dark Knight soundtrack underneath like a highlight reel.
Weird.
Anyways, I found the Beast Wars theme underneath one of the highlight reels, and I was like, "What am I watching?"
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I've always wondered about like just copyright laws in different
Yeah,
in
it's
countries and
super
stuff.
strict in North America, but like because I watch a lot of like Top Gear and the Grand Tour, they actually just take a lot of I guess movie scores
Yeah.
like from big movies and they use it.
Oh, just like you just get Inception soundtrack and
You
you're
do, and you're just like,
okay.
"What?"
That's pretty
Yeah.
cool.
Yeah, it's neat.
I don't know if you wanted to talk about it, but Persona 5 came out recently.
Yeah.
And Atlus came out with a guideline to streaming for their game.
Yeah.
Did you want to talk about that
I
at
mean, we
all?
can. I
Or?
mean, like, basically, like, what hit me with it? What are the rules?
So the rules are don't be an asshole, don't spoil it for everybody. There's kind of like generic, like community rules. Like,
Don't spoil it?
yeah, if you
Yeah,
have.
fuck you,
Right, yeah, okay,
GameStop.
we'll get to that. So it's pretty much like, hey, if you're talking about it, if you're going to talk about spoilers, put it in a spoiler tag or put it in a thread that's labeled spoilers and stuff
Yeah.
like that. But the one that got me was there was a specific streaming and just video rule. If you're making video reviews, if you're streaming it out online, you cannot stream past the date July 7th within the game. So I assume on July 7th or the day after, there's some sort of twist that happens, right? Because that seems like the only reason they would tell you not to.
That's the beginning of the summer in most Persona games. That's when, like, generally it starts to ramp up.
Okay.
Like, you're into the zone
Yeah.
and shit
Oh, you get the
happens.
summer break stuff.
Yeah,
Okay.
and that's when shit starts to go,
Yeah.
right? So.
So that the thing is though that where they're like instead of saying like hey just maybe watch out if you're watching streams, they said don't stream it and they said if you do stream it or if you put YouTube videos up, we will hit your channel with a cease and desist and or get YouTube to give you a strike on your YouTube channel,
Yeah.
which is can you can explain strikes better than I can.
They're just copyright strikes,
They're
right?
copyright strikes, but there's different ones. So I recently put up a video review, or not a video, a top like my games of the year, and we got a not a strike, but a like you can't monetize this video type of thing.
I mean, like, the levels of strikes are either like, listen, this is our content that you've stolen,
Yeah.
or you it all depends on the rights holder. They can choose the level. So like, the straight strike is, you've stolen from us, take it down, or you get the strike.
Okay.
The other one you can do is, here's your warning, I won't do anything. The other one is, here's your notice, I will compromise. You give me 70%, you take the other 30, and
Okay.
you can leave the video up.
Oh, okay. So there's three levels, I guess.
Yeah.
And then it's like if you get a strike, like one of the high levels, that's like a mark on your account or something.
You have up to three strikes,
Okay.
and then after that, you're just done.
Oh, like you can't use your can you
Yeah.
not upload anymore?
You just can't
You can't
monetize.
monetize anything.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, they said they would come at you and try and give your YouTube channel a strike,
Yeah.
which I think is a little harsh, but this comes down to the situation that or the discussion of when you buy a video game, do you own it or are you renting it technically from like through the law? Are you renting it from the person who or the people who made it?
Legally, it's always been you're renting it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's how it is with all media, music
Music.
and movies. That's why they have those claims at the front that say you cannot distribute this.
That's why if you go to the gym
Yeah.
and you're like in a, like a Zumba class,
Yeah.
like it's like why don't you play this song? It's like oh, because our company doesn't hold the rights to that song, right?
Exactly.
We don't want to get sued.
Right. I know it's a hard concept to grasp because you're like, but I'm holding it, I'm owning
Yeah,
it,
like
I can give it to a friend. And it's like, yes, but under legal terms, technically you don't own it. You've just been given permission to use it, right? So.
Which is a bigger discussion about like should you own your media? It's a
Exactly.
discussion I'm interested in as someone who just kind of refuses to buy digital.
Exactly.
Like, was it Parappa the Rapper remaster is coming out?
Yeah.
And I'm looking at PlayAsia, like,
Oh, because you want the physical
yeah, like
disc?
Japan has the physical disc and everything's in English,
Yeah.
so like I can import it.
Right.
But yeah, it's kind of weird to see a company just straight out and put down these guidelines, and it seems more oppressive if they do that. Like kind of the transparency of it.
Yeah.
Makes it feel like they're attacking their fans at some level.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Did you read this at all, or?
Like, I mean, it is very harsh. I mean, like, it's a video game.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, and like, okay, spoilers happen. But even in movies, come on, like,
mm-hmm.
no one tells you, like, this is a bit rough. I guess they're just really...
Persona is probably their biggest title, like Atlas's biggest title.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I guess in their eyes, they're just saying, we want to look out for our fans.
Mm-hmm.
But that could also mean, like, you're only hurting your fans.
Yeah. Or people can misconstrue that as being, we want to look out for our stockholders.
Right.
Right? Because if people watch all these LPers who are playing the game, they're not buying our game.
Yeah.
So.
Could be.
Yeah, it was kind of an interesting thing that I saw.
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. Neato. That's your pick?
Yep.
Cool. Okay, on to our weeks. So this week, my week's pretty short. I bought a new iPhone. It's fucking red, Anthony.
I don't know. It's looking a little orange to me.
It's red.
It's red. It's pretty red.
It's red.
Not going to lie, it's red.
And it's 128 gigs, and it has changed my life.
So how long before you break the screen?
I'm giving myself 3.1 months.
Three months?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to give you a full year.
Yeah?
I'm going to give you a full year until something happens.
Yeah. Okay. I have 60 days to buy AppleCare, so we'll see.
Okay, well, yeah. All right.
And I'm going caseless so people can see the bread.
Yeah, no, I go caseless all the time. You know what? Just don't drop your phone. I don't understand. Like,
it's so easy. Just don't drop it.
I've dropped this thing, but I've only dropped it on, like, carpet.
Okay, that's right? Good.
I kind of want to tell this story every time I talk about dropping phones. So I used to work at Future Shop. It's closed down now.
Doesn't
matter. I remember selling a guy a laptop.
Yeah.
And he was kind of mean to me. Like, he was just kind of being like, oh, why can't you give me a deal? That kind of person, right?
Yeah.
So his phone rings in his pocket, and I guess it was like a business call or something. So he immediately pulls it out. And when he's pulling it out, he pulls it out of his pocket. And I'm going to show you physically, like, in person.
Yeah.
Where he takes the two fingers, top of the phone, but it's upside down.
Yeah.
So he swings it up like this.
Oh, no.
Right? And he swings it into the right. When he does that, his finger, I don't know what happened to his finger, just threw the phone across the store.
Uh-oh.
Lands face down. He picks it up, super cracked, like, it's still a mess. I'm like, sir, if you want, we have our phone mobile booth over here. We can sell you a new phone. I don't know. I just thought that story is hilarious every single time. But how do you like your phone? Is it faster? Is it better?
Yeah, so I was on a 6.
Do you need headphone jacks?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I have Bluetooth headsets that I use all the time. The phone comes with the headset, so if I need that, I can use that. But yeah, no.
Are they comfortable, the wireless ones?
Well, they're not wireless. They're just the regular Apple.
Oh, wait. They give you a corded
plug-in
headphones for a phone that doesn't have a headphone jack.
It uses the Lightning dock.
Oh, yeah. That's stupid.
Yeah. So it just means you can't charge and listen at the same time?
I heard people are making, like, third-party dongles for that.
It comes with a dongle.
Okay. No, but I mean, like, ones where you can charge and listen at the same time.
Oh, okay, yeah, sure. I mean, it's never been a problem for me, though. I mean...
Okay.
Because the only time
You're not the biggest music listener.
So. Right, and I only listen to podcasts, and when I listen to podcasts, it's usually when I'm... I usually have wireless headphones in, just because it's easier for me.
Okay.
The first way I cracked my phone is because of that cord.
Oh, is it?
I was in the kitchen, I was washing dishes, and it got caught on the knob.
I thought it was when we were in Japan and you dropped it on the...
No, that was the second time I broke it.
Oh, okay.
I had it fixed.
Oh, okay.
Before that happened. Yeah, so, yeah. So, the phone's sick. I've been playing Overwatch again.
You're on that sickness?
I've been playing a lot of Orisa in competitive mode.
Yeah.
Orisa. She really is a jack of all trades. But when you're up against high-level opponents who know what they're doing, she is useless.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So that happens in League of Legends, too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of characters and champions where, at higher levels, So for me, I don't know how to stop, like, a guy called Master Yi from snowballing.
Yeah.
Right? But in, like, high level, fucking useless, because everyone knows what to do, right?
Yeah.
And is she like that, where the higher up in the ELO you go, the more useless she is?
So, like, I'm at the top of platinum, just under diamond.
Okay.
And Like, where I'm at, it's pretty good, like, because most people, when you just walk into random matches, I can do pretty well with her, like, I can be useful to the team. But the minute I come across, like, a team who's partied up, they know how to stop me, and it's just, because I know what the weaknesses are of her, too, and I just, like, I can't stop the flanker.
There's also the advantage of those people are voice chatting together.
That's true.
Right? They're doing that kind of
stuff. So, like, I mean, yeah. But then I started watching, like, the pro scene and stuff, and it's like, yeah, no one picks her because she's just not as viable as, say, like, Reinhardt is still, like, you need Reinhardt.
Dude, Reinhardt's so good.
Yeah, I know. So stupid.
And he's one of those champions where, like, even if you buff him or nerf him, the kit he has, like, the ability kit is really good.
Yeah, that's what makes him viable, So that's cool. But then I did one new thing this week. I watched a couple episodes of the Netflix show Black Mirror.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen the show?
I've seen two select episodes from, I think, the second or... How many seasons are there?
Three.
I think it was the second season.
Well, might have been the describe third. Describe what the episodes were.
There was one about virtual reality.
Okay, no.
And gaming.
I don't think I saw that.
And there was another one about social media and technology. What's the third one? That's the third season? Okay.
Okay.
I watched two select episodes in the third season.
Okay, so then I have not seen those episodes yet. Okay. I watched first and second. That show, so if you guys don't know, it's an anthology series that's set somewhere anywhere from the near future to the future, and it depicts what our lives could be like when technology is integrated so deeply into our world and all the consequences that could happen if we just take one wrong turn.
Yeah.
The show is fucking oppressive.
I heard that show is pretty much like the Twilight Zone of the modern age.
Kind of. You know how like the show from the outset, it's like, There's no hope. It is just...
It's showing you all of the worst shit technology can do.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, here is your nightmare scenario you thought of, like, one time, like, in your bed.
Here it is if it's every
day. Here it is in your eyeballs, like, visuals.
It's, but it's super interesting. And it's very thought-provoking, and it's fun to watch. There's this one episode, you should watch this one. It's, they have a chip, like, in their brain.
Mm-hmm.
And it, basically, they use their brain as memory storage.
Okay.
And there's camera, and your eyes are constantly recording.
Ooh.
So you can recall.
Everyone has an idyllic memory.
Yeah, you can recall everything, and you can bring it up at any moment.
Okay.
So, like, the way they frame this one is, like, it's a couple. And it's, like, when the couple gets into a fight, they're like, no, you said this. They're like, 1 second. And they bring it back. And not only can you see it, you can swipe it to a nearby screen so everyone else can see it.
Oh.
It's... And the levels to that go with this one are kind of insane.
Okay.
They're doing... The episode opens up, like, as an interview session, right? And it's like a... It's a business meeting interview. And it's a panel of three interviewers and one interviewee. But they're sitting... I don't know. Like, at the opposite ends of the room.
Is it, like, comical, large, rich person table?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that his eyes, what he captures, they cannot see. Like, he can't see what they have on their papers and stuff because they're so far away that it's too small for his eye.
Okay.
So that he can't recall back and stuff and see and, like, pick it apart.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, like, and it's just, they do some fucked up things in there. But anyways.
That's what seems, so the VR episode in season three was like truly haunting.
Yeah.
And the social media episode in season three is just depressing. So I felt like, I don't know if I can watch that show like in big spurt, like I can't marathon a season.
It's definitely one of those shows like you need to, don't watch it if you're having a bad day.
Okay. Cause it'll make it worse.
Oh man. Like if you're sitting there being like, fuck, the world's on fire, I just want to die. Don't watch this show.
There, for me, my media is usually the more colorful, happy-go-lucky, or just, like, dumb action, like, kind of stuff like that.
Yeah, so. It's kind of like, you know when you watch The Walking Dead? The Walking Dead's a pretty dark and bleak show.
Sometimes.
But at least, but you know, like, the underlying fact with The Walking Dead is there is some hope, there is some light.
Yeah.
Yeah, this show just removes
that. There is no hope, there is no nothing. At least, even in the two episodes I saw, this is just like, everything sucks.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah. I'm into it. I think I am.
Okay. You think you are?
Like, it's like, I thought that
Is it Stockholm Syndrome?
It's one of those things where it's like, no, I like this kind of stuff. But then the more I watch them, like, fuck, this is sad. Yeah. Why am I watching this?
What am I doing? Yeah. Go play Overwatch.
I should go. Yeah, I'm like, I need to see something colorful. Where's Overwatch?
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, that's what I did.
All right, that's cool. I had kind of a longer week. I finished a bunch of stuff. So first off, finished Keijo.
Oh.
Finally finished Keijo.
And?
Dude, that show is great and terrible at the same time.
Yep.
I don't think that show really pops off until the tournament.
Oh, the big tournament, yeah.
When it's the East versus West,
yep,
kind of thing. I think everything before that is like, it's okay. It's mm-hmm. got it. It's got its wackiness. It's got its Japanese uniqueness about mm-hmm. it. But stuff does not pop off until you get semi-pros battling semi-pros.
Yep.
And the amount of dumb... Okay. I can't get over the judo throw.
Yeah. She's the best character. She's my favorite.
I still think Titty Hypnosis Girl is my
favorite. Oh, of course you would.
She's great.
Okay.
Wait,
you didn't like... what does she call it? Double W?
Oh, V acceleration? Yeah. Double acceleration? She fucking wedges.
Double acceleration? Yeah.
That, it's good.
Yeah.
But the judo throw, though.
Oh, yeah.
There is a bunch of stuff in that show where I'm like, if there was anyone else in here other than me, I would have a hard time explaining that I am not a degenerate. Right? I would have to try really hard to be like, no, I'm not a monster. Like, hey, yeah, it's okay. But some of the attack name, you were right. By the end of that series, they are straight up stealing super robot attacks and doing it with boobs and butts.
Yeah.
There is the name that got me the most is probably Batak on Titan.
Oh, because she's huge?
Yeah. She just, all you hear is Batak on Titan. The art style changes to Attack on Titan. It's the dumbest show I've ever seen, but it is still the most fun I've had. Maybe don't watch it with a significant other.
No, don't do that.
If you're a guy
and
you got a girl,
don't do it.
Don't do that. Like, if you want to get out of a relationship, maybe do that.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? Just get it out. But that show is fantastic and dumb. And they set it up for a second season. And I really want to see a second season because they are pros now.
Oh, yeah. They're done.
And the last scene is them at the dinner hall. And they show all the pros. And they show these ridiculous characters or caricatures. And I want to see what goes beyond butt missiles.
Yeah.
So, that show's great. Mm-hmm. I don't recommend it, but I also do recommend it.
Yep.
I don't know where I stand on recommending it.
Yeah, you got another person.
Yeah, you got another person to recommend that show. But I liked it. It was pretty great. And then I played some games. I played Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival.
Why?
So, a friend bought it.
Oh,
he told me, he's like, Anthony, listen, it was $15 and it came with two Amiibos, so I had to buy it. It was out of principle, and we played it. You know what this game is? Have you played this?
No.
It's Mario Party.
Oh, but with...
But imagine if Mario Party was streamlined into your veins.
What?
For dice rolling.
Oh.
And there were no mini games.
What?
There are no mini games in this Mario Party.
So you're just rolling dice?
You don't even roll the dice. You put your amiibo on the controller, a dice spins in midair, and then you take the amiibo off, and then it rolls the dice.
What the fuck?
You're not pressing a button, you're not holding a button.
Okay, and then what?
Then you move spaces.
Okay.
You either hit a happy space or a sad space. If you hit a happy space, depending on if it's got a money bag on it or a music note on it, you'll gain happiness or you'll gain bells.
Okay.
If you land on a sad space, depending on, you'll lose happiness or you'll lose bells.
Okay.
And that's it.
What?
Yeah.
That's the game?
There are four corners on the map where you can collect a stamp to get bonus happiness. And that's it.
What?
You play through a month of Amiibo Festival. You play through a month of Animal Crossing, and you go every week. You go through the week. On Sundays, you can buy turnips and play the stock market. And then you can sell the turnips you've bought at higher or lower prices depending on the spot you've landed.
Oh, this sounds awful.
They took the only minor fun thing of Mario Party, which is not a fun game to start with, and they made it terrible, right? They took out the mini games. It is strictly roll this dice, watch a cutscene of like, oh, I'm KK Slider, and I'm playing a show. Everyone showed up. I'm happy. You gain bells and happiness. Happiness
Yeah.
are the equivalent of stars, right?
Jeez.
The thing I thought was kind of fucked up is that at the end of the game, you can buy happiness
Oh. Like with real money?
with bells.
Okay.
So if you play the stock market right, and at the end of the game, you have, I don't know, 20,000, like a bunch of buttload of money, right? Because you can have a lot of money. I lost a whole place because someone had more money than me and bought happiness at the end of the game, which then made them happier than me. So I
Wow.
was the third happiest and not the second happiest.
Wow.
The game is strictly luck based. There
Okay.
is, like, you've heard people on the internet make arguments that there are some skill to Mario Party.
Yeah.
There isn't, but like you could see why someone would think that. There is no skill to Amiibo Festival.
Oh.
It is randomly roll a dice. It is randomly try and get good prices on the stock market, and then randomly get upgrade cards to make your rolls better or worse.
Well, I'm glad you like it.
It's not good. But to be honest, at $15, I
No.
kind of want to get it.
Why?
Because that's two amiibos for free.
Oh no. This is
Dude, you can only get Digby in Amiibo Festival.
Oh my God. Don't do it.
$15, though.
Yeah.
We'll see. The game's terrible. The game is like actual trash.
All right.
And then I played Dangerous Golf.
Oh, you got that?
Dangerous Golf was on flash sale.
What was it, like
Eight
$4?
bucks.
$8? And? Any good?
So it's by the team who did the Burnout 3, or like some people, and they did the Crash Mode,
Yeah.
right? They wanted to make a game that was just Crash Mode. I think that they dropped the ball on this one. Pun, it's a golf ball. They dropped the ball on this one. It's the thing about Crash Mode in Burnout is they felt like puzzles,
Yeah.
right? I have to hit a ramp at a certain speed or a certain ramp or do whatever, right? In Dangerous Golf, it's less of a puzzle. So how it structures is there is you have the ball. You can tee off and hit a bunch of things. You have a pretty much a smash breaker, right? You have to hit a certain amount of objects off your tee shot to unlock your smash breaker.
Okay.
When you hit the smash breaker, you blow up, you have control of your ball, you can after touch it around, hit other things, and then the ball drops after smash breaker is done. And then you have to putt it. You have to putt it into wherever the hole is.
Yeah.
Right? And so sometimes there's different things like you have to cause a certain X number of damage before the hole even appears. Sometimes there's multiple holes. If you get into a harder one, you get more points. And so at the end of the level, it racks up the money you've done. If you sink it into the hole, you get all the money. And if you miss the hole, it halves your score.
Okay.
But it's less of a puzzle and more of just use the aftertouch to hit these things we highlighted,
I
right?
see.
So it's a slight difference, and also I think the fact that Burnout had cars made it more fun that I was driving into. I guess I'm still technically driving into things,
It's different.
right? It's different. It's a
It's
different type
different.
of driving.
It's different.
And yeah, it feels more of like a visual showcase than any sort of fun game I want to play. You
Okay.
have like world tours and stuff, and there's tons of levels and tons of objectives. They change up levels based on different things. You can unlock hidden areas if you hit certain things with your Smash Breaker ball. And there's mechanics in there, but it doesn't feel like anything more than a tech demo showcase.
Oh, that's too
So
bad.
it's disappointing. Like I was really hoping that this would be like this fun puzzly thing, but it kind of isn't. So that's
Bummer.
a little bit of a bummer, but it was $8. Can't complain.
Cool.
Yeah, but yeah, I've been playing a lot of League still. Still a problem.
Good.
But I got like 10 wins in a row. So I'm feeling good.
I was afraid you were gonna say you uninstalled it, but thankfully you didn't.
Why would you be afraid? Wouldn't that be better?
No, it's good. No. It's okay. Good.
Yeah. So I went down. What did I do? I went down to silver, like low end silver 3.
Uh-huh.
And I just like, I always get into this mindset of when I feel like I'm doing good, or I feel like I've been matching up with players where I'm like, oh, they can. Like, if I play, like, a playmaker type of character, the ones I really enjoy playing, like, they can pick up on it.
Yeah.
And they didn't. So I'm like, screw it. I'm just going to play the carries.
Mm-hmm.
And so I pick junglers or I pick supports that can strictly carry a game. And it's just, like, 10, 12 wins in a row. I'm back to high-level silver 1. I'm almost in gold. So
when you get to gold, you don't go back to silver?
You cannot demote.
Okay.
You can only demote divisions. Yeah. You cannot demote ranks.
Okay, cool.
So as soon as I get to gold 5, that's where I can, like, for the season, you get a special skin, and you get a bunch of rewards.
Of course.
And then I'm like, set. And then also you're playing with a pool of people who have a better mindset on the game.
Or so you think.
But I'm still coming into people who are just, like, the worst.
Mm-hmm.
I had a match where I was playing a support, and there was another person was the jungler.
Mm-hmm.
So in the game, there's buffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a thing called the blue buff. And the blue buff, what it does is that makes your mana, mm-hmm. or whatever your energy is you use to do skills, regen faster. And also you get a cooldown reduction so you can spam them more. It's a pretty powerful buff. And usually the mid laner is a burst character who wants to do a lot of damage in a short period of time to try and just like 100 to zero them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So having more mana and being able to spam your spells more often mm-hmm. is useful.
Mm-hmm.
Our mid laner, we're winning like real well. Our mid laner said, hey, jungler, give me a blue buff. And the guy's like, no, I need it. And so he said, immediately after when he said no, like no instigation, fuck you. You know what? If you don't give me a blue buff, I'm going to AFK. And he's like, I took it already. And then the mid laner's like, fine, fuck you. And he AFK'd.
Oh, no.
And we were just down a player. Like, we got really lucky because a couple minutes in after he AFK'd, one of their players AFK'd. So it became even somehow. It became a 4v4 instead of a 5v5.
Oh, man.
So, like, that was just a stroke of luck. But, like, just straight up people being like, hey, screw you, I'm a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
Or at least the mentality of that. And it's there's nothing you can really do about it because as soon as someone leaves, like, you just lose rank.
Yeah.
They have a good thing now where you can remake matches. If someone doesn't even load into the game or they don't leave what's called the fountain at the beginning of the game, as soon as it hits 3 minutes, you can type in /remake, ends the game, and then you back out. Nobody loses points, nobody gains points, you just rematch. So that's not bad. But it's bad when, like, someone's 20 minutes into a game and they're just so frustrated with the game that, like, they leave and now there's actually zero chance of winning instead of us being able to teamwork together and have a comeback.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah, I think Overwatch has a similar thing. It's a 2-minute limit.
Does it?
Yeah. Okay. And it just auto-cancels.
Oh, really? It auto-cancels. That's nice.
Like, if someone leaves within 2 minutes, it's, like, done.
So we don't, like, League doesn't auto-cancel.
Yeah.
We have to type it. So there has been a thing where someone is like, hey, we didn't realize this guy's not here. And it's like 3 minutes and 30 seconds and it's too late.
Yeah.
And it's like, God damn it.
Been there. Yeah.
So
that sucks.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Cool.
Yeah. And that's been my week. I finished some anime, played some games. I'm excited to get to Persona 5.
Yeah. I was going to say both Anthony and I have our copies of Persona 5.
You opened yours.
We got the Take Your Heart editions.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff in there.
It's a big box.
I don't know why I bought it. I only need the game.
Nah, you're going to use that plush. You're going to be laying down in your bed and, like, put the controller in front of him. And he's going to be like, oh, you're playing too.
Yeah, but this everything I'm hearing says this is the best Persona game.
Oh, we didn't get to Fuck You GameSpot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So tell what's the story on that? Go for
so, it. So GameSpot, like any other gaming outlet, they do video reviews.
Yeah.
Especially
useful for people who want to know.
Who want to know, like, should I buy this game, you know? And or for those who are just super excited about it and they want to know it early, like, is this awesome or should I cancel my pre-order?
It's super awesome.
So GameSpot made a review and, you know, they were raving about it, except for the fact that they used footage from the end game.
Not just the end game. The final battle.
Yeah. So, I mean, what? What are you doing, GameSpot?
Also, GameSpot, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Also. But that's a separate issue.
When I heard about this, I was like, I'm not surprised. Just because GameSpot does a lot of that.
See, I didn't know that. I never really... I only read GameSpot reviews. I never watched the video review.
Yeah, I remember watching... The first time instance I saw of it was for Mass Effect. I believe it was 1.
Okay.
And I remember seeing like some endgame stuff, and I was just like... But when you watch it, I never realized it. Yeah. It was only when I was playing, I'm like...
I've seen this.
And then it was at the end, I'm like, what the fuck? And I knew it was going to happen.
Okay.
And they pull out direct lines and stuff. And granted, they pull out like the best bits of content from the games. But it's like, I wish, you know, I could have experienced that on my own. Mm. Not in this fucking video review.
So I have a question for you. Story spoilers in video reviews, obviously a no-no.
Yeah.
What about gameplay? So would you think it would be okay for someone who's doing a video review to pull not like story spoiler gameplay, but like, say my character is high level and has a bunch of cool moves that you wouldn't have in early game, but if you saw that, would that count as something too much for you?
I think so. If it's not a dedicated mechanic,
like, and it's just something like some cool offshoot
thing, then that's totally spoiler.
Okay.
Because I mean, like, if it's a dedicated mechanic, I think you need to include that in your evaluation, because that's part of the game.
Okay.
Right? You know how, like, what's a good example? Let's say is it The Dark Knight?
The movie?
Oh, no, sorry. Arkham games.
Oh, okay.
Do you know how, like, throughout that game, Batman gets upgrades and upgrades and upgrades?
Yeah.
And, like,
zip lines, gel.
Yeah. So, basically, gel. I think, like, the fact that you can get 3 Batarangs, that would be, to me, maybe kind of spoilerish.
Okay.
But if you told me that he got a grenade, like that gel gun,
yeah,
I wouldn't say that's a spoiler. That's a mechanic.
That's a core mechanic.
Yeah, that's all part of solving the puzzle.
So, like, for example, if you were watching a Zelda review and you saw one of the main 4 like ruins or whatever, like, that would be fine.
Yeah.
But if you saw someone rolling around with some baller weapon that you could only get at some side character, you'd be like, hey, I want to find that by myself.
Yeah. Like, okay. A certain shield, I would say, is a spoiler.
Okay, yeah. Or a certain sword. Or a certain sword.
That's the tricky one, because everyone fucking knows that it's a Zelda game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. And maybe it's the Bigoron sword, bud. Maybe they brought it back. Oh, man. That's the best sword. So good. Fuck the Master Sword. Just roll around with the Bigoron sword.
Yeah, that's what I need.
No. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, so next week, hopefully, we'll have some thoughts on Persona 5.
Yeah. Well, I definitely will. All right, you said you want to get through Tokyo Mirage.
I will, but I know I'll be playing Persona 5 with Melissa.
So. Okay.
She's more excited than I am, so.
You'll be excited. You'll pop it in, you'll hear the music.
I'm trying to not be too excited, because I'm like, I don't want to make it become my main distraction now until I get other things done.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's hard not to when... Yo, the color of this game is red.
But the music is jazz.
But the color is red.
The color is red. You're correct. See, I'm excited about jazz, but you're excited about red. Yeah. So.
Could be the greatest game.
Jazz and red.
Yeah. There you go. That's all for us this week.
Yep.
Thanks for listening. We promise Kamen Rider will return next week.
Yeah. It's pretty late showing today.
Until then.
See you later.